I've talked about a couple of privacy-related matters in the last couple of years, and I've gotten emails from people who consider themselves privacy advocates, and the last couple of years have not been good for the cause of trying to keep information about ourselves private as the government has encroached more and more on that. And two or three listeners have said, Paul, you ought to have Catherine Albrecht on the show. She's the author of a book called Spy Chips: How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Purchase and Watch Your Every Move. Now, that sounds like tinfoil paranoia going on right there. But in looking through the book and reading through this, she's talking about something called the Radio Frequency Identification Tag. I didn't know what that was either until I looked at her book, and so I've invited her to join us this afternoon and talk about this. Catherine, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, Paul. It's great to be on the show.
What does the radio frequency ID tag mean?
Well, it's a tiny computer chip hooked up to a miniature antenna that's able to beam information at a distance using radio waves. These things can be as tiny as a speck of dust. The computer chips themselves, they can contain personal information, a unique serial number. They can be linked up with credit card accounts and all sorts of other things. And the idea is that eventually one of these tiny little microchips, which we call spy chips, will actually be placed on every manufactured product on Earth to replace the barcode, meaning that everything you own, everything you wear, everything you carry could potentially be tracked.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what your worldview is. I personally don't like the idea of marketers being able to pinpoint what I'm wearing as I walk into stores. We've also
So you're not talking about this as an inventory kind of thing. I go into the store, this thing is embedded in there like a barcode, and the store just uses it to either know what I'm purchasing or what I'm interested in, and also to make sure I'm not shoplifting it on my way out. You're talking about being able to track this sort of thing outside of the retail environment.
Exactly. So basically the way these things work is anytime you're within a couple of feet of a reader device, which is a little device about the size of a paperback book that can be put under floor tiles or in walls or ceilings or really anywhere, anytime you walk past one of those things, it's able to query all the tags on everything you're wearing and carrying, even the contents of your briefcase or your backpack, because the radio waves travel right through the things we rely on to protect our privacy. So if you walk near one of these readers, which the industry envisions placing literally everywhere, then it would enable anyone with access to that reader to do essentially a virtual frisk, a scan of everything you're wearing and carrying right down to the size and color of your underwear right through your clothes.
Now, there was a Steven Spielberg movie a few years ago starring Tom Cruise called Minority Report, and in that movie, everywhere everybody goes, every time they go past a billboard, the billboard essentially changes to an ad that is specifically targeted directly at them based on personal information. Is that what you're talking about here?
Well, that's actually one of the things we focused on in our book, Spy Chips. We talked about, for example, IBM has taken out a patent for something they call the Person Tracking Unit. This is literally their word.
Oh, I don't like that name right there. You'd think that people at IBM would be better at coming up with a name for something than something so obviously bad, the Person Tracker.
A little more subtle, a little subtlety would have been useful here. Anyway, the Person Tracking Unit is their notion of planting these readers in places like museums and sports arenas, libraries, elevators, even bathrooms, so that they can do an inventory of everything you're wearing and carrying. They say that there'd be two useful reasons for this. One of them is for marketing purposes, and they actually give the example of looking in a woman's purse using these invisible radio waves, finding some spy chips on something like a baby bottle, and then targeting her with personal advertising. And it gets creepier. They also say you could use this to sort of see where people go and how long they linger in particular places, and that information might be useful to the government. To track suspicious persons. And I don't know about you, but it seems like since September 11th, the government is viewing all of us, even law-abiding citizens, as suspicious potentially. And you know, this could mean Big Brother looking over your shoulder every time you go out in public.
I'm also thinking of a more nefarious way somebody could use this. Let's say somebody who is not just interested in marketing, but somebody who's interested in stealing my stuff gets one of these scanners. Now they set up someplace and they can see, oh, that guy's going by with a Sony Vaio desktop, laptop, and oh, this guy's got a really expensive watch on, or look what she's got in her purse, and now we're targets.
Well, and I'll go you one better. There was actually some researchers who just about a month ago came out with a report that, you know, those contactless credit cards, the tap-and-go or wave-and-go credit cards?
Yeah.
They call them swipeless credit cards. Well, actually, every one of those 20 million credit cards issued to Americans contains an RFID spy chip inside of it. And what these researchers found is using equipment you can buy off the Internet for about $200 that any thief can create, well, any thief with a knowledge of how to do it, could create a reader device that can read your credit card number, your full name, your expiration date, all the information they'd need to essentially perform identity theft and steal your credit card right through your wallet from as much as a couple of feet away. And you'd never even be the wiser. You could mill through a crowd at a sporting event and capture literally hundreds, if not thousands, of these numbers.
Now, why don't the people who are issuing these credit cards know about that and have some sort of mechanism or technology to stop that?
Well, that's what we've all been asking ourselves.
You know, I think I know. They know. They do know, but they're willing to take the risk.
Well,
that's what I
think. Have found is that when people don't have to actually pull the credit card out and scan it, that they tend to spend on average around 30% more. And so I'm sure that they're figuring that the extra fees and interest and expenses and all of that will more than make up for whatever people lose in the way of fraud.
News Talk 1120 KMOX. I'm Paul Harris talking with Catherine Albrecht about Spy Chips, a book in which she talks about how companies and the government and others are implanting these RFID chips in all sorts of products. And I'm guessing also that they can be implanted in human beings, right?
Well, that's when you get into the really creepy aspect of this. There is a version of RFID with a little microchip in the antenna encapsulated in glass that can be surgically injected into human flesh, and that's called the VeriChip. People may be familiar with this because they've been putting them in dogs and cats now for years, but
yeah,
Now they've got a version that they want to put into human beings.
Okay, now I can see a positive side to that. You know, we've got this problem with sex offenders, child sex offenders moving into communities. Okay, they're not allowed to go in certain areas. Okay, we can monitor where they're going. Or somebody who's supposed to be on home detention, we don't have to put that bracelet on them. We put this little chip in them. We know where they're going. Or somebody gets hurt in an accident and they don't have their ID on them, or they're burned in a horrible fire and we don't want to have to go through dental records. Boom, we can use this sort of technology
Alzheimer's.
Keep track of people. Or Alzheimer's victims who wander off, we can use this sort of stuff to keep track of people in a good way. What would be wrong with that?
Well, one of the misconceptions about the human implantable form of RFID is that it can be read from a distance or from a satellite, or you can, you know, I think we get a lot of this from the sci-fi movies.
Oh, so we couldn't have used it to find James Kim in Oregon?
No, or you couldn't use it to find a hiker lost in the woods or a kidnapped child or really anybody, because the read range on the implantable version is only about a foot. And in fact, the way they use it to get animals back is they don't, you know, it's not like Spot runs away and then you turn on the tracking device
right,
and figure out where he is. When he gets picked up by an animal shelter, they run that reader over his entire body. And if they get the number, then they look it up in the database and figure out who the owner is.
All right, then let me give you another potential scenario for a good way to use RFID as an implantable thing in a human being. I fly a lot. I go to the airport. I don't want to have to go through that line and be checked every time. I go into the preferred traveler program. I go to the airport. Bloop, they read me, and I go right through.
Right. Well,
I like bloop.
If you read Chapter 14 in Spy Chips, we've actually there's a patent out on an airport security measure using RFID that may actually chill you a little bit. The idea is actually, instead of just implanting this thing in you, they'd put an armband on you with anesthesia in it, and it would be a knockout dose that would knock you out within seconds. And as you're on the airplane, if you get too close to the cockpit, the little RFID signal will release this thing into your bloodstream and literally knock you out.
That's not good.
There's some pretty disturbing applications. We found another one for something called the deep organ implant, because right now they're putting these things into people's arms and their hands where you could gouge it out. It's just in the top, you know, half of the flesh. But they're now talking about a version that could actually be implanted in the lumen of the intestines or in the internal organs. So if you tried to remove it, you'd actually kill yourself. And those ones, you know, could have some potential long-term problems. They're talking about actually souping them up and using them as tracking devices. And frankly, I wouldn't want one in me.
All right, let's go back to the retail side of this. Get away from the human implants, but talk about the products here. One thing I know about the retail economy in this country is that one company drives any technology forward, and that company is Walmart. When it comes to anything in retail, because they are the biggest retailer, they are the biggest foot down, they make the biggest imprint on everything. So if they are behind this is going to go forward. Is Walmart doing RFID?
Yes, and in fact, Walmart has pretty much single-handedly driven the creation of close to $1 billion of infrastructure in RFID. And it's amazing. Whenever I go on the radio, there's all these people who've never heard of this technology. But if you talk to people in the business sector, particularly those dealing with Walmart or any supply chain issues where you're moving products around, they all know that this has been going on for a couple of years. Walmart issued a mandate a couple years back that its top 100 suppliers had to begin placing these RFID tags on crates and pallets going into Walmart warehouses. And if you go into a Walmart today, virtually any place in the country, you can actually find items with RFID tags on them. They're putting them on Hewlett-Packard printers, Lexmark printers, and scanners, and a few other electronic products. So you can actually see those tags right on there. You can see the antenna. You can see the chip. And ultimately, what Walmart would like to do is chip every single product sold in its stores. And that's when you get into the trouble, because these things can be hidden in the seams of clothing. They can be sandwiched between the layers of shoes. And they, you know, once you leave the Walmart store, they're not deactivated. So you could actually be walking around and be in this environment, you know, essentially overnight and realize we've created a Big Brother surveillance world. We didn't even know what's happening.
All right. You've talked about several kind of scary scenarios here. Have there been incidents, are there incidents on record of identity theft or other problems with this RFID technology?
Well, I got to say, the one I found kind of creepy was the trial that Walmart did in Brockton, Massachusetts, about an hour south of where I am. They actually rigged up Gillette Mach 3 razor products with tiny RFID tags hidden inside of them. And when customers picked them up, they had set up a hidden camera to take a close-up mugshot of every single customer who picked these products up. And the way they did it, they made the whole shelf into an RFID reader, and it could detect when these boxes were moved. So, snap, you got your picture taken. The idea was to prevent shoplifting, but frankly, I don't think, you know, razor blades are so expensive, I feel like they should be, you know, playing a mariachi band and giving me a margarita, not treating me like a criminal and taking my picture.
By the way, have you ever had a retail experience with a mariachi band? It's incredibly annoying. You just want to say, stop playing that. I don't want to hear Guantanamera again. Thank you. Catherine, I didn't know anything about spy chips until I found out about your book, thanks to a couple of my listeners, and I think people have probably been educated about them more. But is it already too late for anybody to do anything about this? Once Walmart is behind something and driving it in the retail sector, you know, it's usually a lost cause.
Well, the good news is that we've been fighting these guys since 2002, when I first found out that this technology existed, back when it was just a research consortium out of MIT.
Wow.
Closed doors.
I feel so behind the times, four years late on this one.
Well, I think most people didn't realize it even existed because, again, these were closed-door meetings. But we have been pretty steadfastly resisting what's called item-level tagging. That's putting the tags into your shoes, your shirt, your clothing, you know, the things you'd carry around. And so far, we've done protests around the country and around the world. People can learn more about that on our website at spychips.com. And the industry has really been faced with a big backlash from the public. When they do polls, they find that between two-thirds and three-quarters of people oppose the technology on privacy grounds. And they've really had a hard time moving forward and getting it into our shoes and our clothes. So I think there's hope. And if people want to fight back and work more on this, we highly recommend getting a copy of the book. Give it out as Christmas presents. Give it to your lawmakers. Give it to your neighbors, whoever. And let people know what's happening, because when you read the book, you can't just take this information sitting down.
No, as a civil libertarian, as I read through the book, I was shocked at some of the things that you expose in here and some of the things that we've talked about this afternoon. And I appreciate your time. I'll also send my listeners to your website, spychips.com. Thanks so much for your time today, Catherine.
Hey, thank you, Paul. It's been a real pleasure.
Catherine Albrecht, the book is called Spy Chips. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.